Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly conversation by non-experts where we dive into anything that might be affecting us as grown-ups. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're super glad that you're here with us today.
Yeah, we are. It's been a bit of a rough week, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, it's not been super smooth, but yeah. I have a confession to make.
Hit it.
Okay, so we take turns driving to the studio.
Yes.
Tonight, I drove. And right. I played Taylor Swift's new song on repeat the entire time. No other song played.
I actually thought of it like once and then was just distracted and didn't bring it up. I don't know why.
You sang along to part of it as we were pulling in.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
No,
you did. And I was like, my plan is working because I made sure when we left the driveway to have it on repeat that where it only played
hilarious.
That. And I was just waiting for you to be like, man, that's a lot. But clearly it's an earworm, and so you...
Yeah, I wasn't... I don't know. I just wanted to talk to you, so sue me.
Yeah, well, you just really love Taylor.
Yes, I have a lot of thoughts on that. I definitely want to get to her song today.
But you already have.
But...
like 12 times in
yeah,
a row.
Way more so than I thought. But besides Taylor Swift, what else is going on with women? I have something.
How about you ask yourself? I got nothing but off the top of my head. I have things, but...
Well, I just read something cool. This was a couple days ago.
Okay.
From the New York Times. Jerry Cobb. Do you know who this was? A woman?
No.
She was a pilot, and she tested, like, way higher than most of the men in her class to go to space. This was in a time when NASA didn't want women in space.
Oh.
So she basically finally decided to start doing humanitarian missions in the Amazon jungle, taking food and medicine to isolated tribes. And she got a Nobel Peace Prize nomination in 1981. My point with all that being, she died last week, age 88. And I just
what
think
a
it's,
full life.
Right. I think it's important to remember that in our lifetime and not that long ago, women were not allowed to do the same things as men.
Yeah.
And just to recognize that, like, she worked really hard and ended up still doing great things with her life. So continue to do everything we can to make things equal so that our daughters can enjoy even more freedoms than we have, and equality and pay.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Well, relatedly, but I don't know, on the flip side of that, I was reading a piece. Do you ever read The Cut?
Yes, okay. I follow them.
So they have a piece where 9 women weighed in on the pettiest insults that they've heard at work,
okay.
which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel like these are all, I think they're all relatable, because I think we can all agree that, like, per my last email
is
one of the worst.
Yeah.
So here are just some that women weighed in. I was just a little surprised.
That's
I know
good
that one.
In work and in everyday life.
It is what I start using. I was just a little bit surprised because, help me understand.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
It was
too.
Described as categorically the meanest professional sentence starter, which I totally agree.
Yeah.
And then somebody was packing up a little bit early and somebody said to her, oh, does the workday not end at 5?
Oh, that's so annoying.
Which is really good. And this is outside of my scope of work, but I guess I can.
Oh,
which
I like
is
that too.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Me to the kids every day.
Yeah, completely. Or, wow, you look very professional today. Which is like a veiled thing because it's like, does that mean I don't other days?
Are I you used being to get that all today? The time when I got glasses when I was younger and people would be like, oh, you look so smart. And I'm like, thanks.
Do they still say it?
No one says it anymore. I guess now everyone assumes that I'm smart.
And also, like, there's an underlying that this is, sometimes it can be meant friendly, but other times it's like cutting of, let me know if you have any questions, because it's just like this underlying, like,
you will. You shouldn't.
And then lastly, I appreciate the wisdom in what you're saying, which is like,
I'm going to use all these in conversations with my family.
That to me is like, you know, to me, like, of pet names that you would like generically call somebody, hun is most
the worst
condescending and mean. And so that's what I feel like most of those are veiled as.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hun.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
So
sure.
I just thought it was interesting that women perceive those to be like the most cutting.
Yeah. I wonder if you read this list to like a bunch of men, if they would just be like, where's the insult?
Right. Like, well, per my last email, I did think so.
Yeah, exactly.
But women, I mean, even like, I'm not always faulting men for the way they say these things, because women do that to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I know at my workplace, I know and probably have used my fair share of those things.
I thought this was specifically from women to women.
It was women weighing in on the pettiest insults okay. they have heard.
So it could have been from a man.
It could have been from a man, yeah. but I assume that it's more like yeah, from feels other like, women.
Feels like more from women.
Yeah. One that was not mentioned, but is definitely true. Is not even somebody saying something, but midway through an email thread, a supervisor being copied on the email thread.
Oh,
like
that
it's is not
good.
Even
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not even anything, but you just look and suddenly there's another person on the email yeah. thread, and you're like, okay,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, my weekend was emotional.
Tell me more.
Avengers Endgame was Saturday night.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
the Game of Thrones Battle of Winterfell was Sunday night. So it's been rough.
Yeah. How are you feeling? Are you emotional?
My
hangover?
Blood pressure is returning back to normal. Yes.
Is it?
And so I don't want to say anything. If you don't want to hear a single word, I don't know. It's not a spoiler, but if you just
join me, I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah. Just click the 30-second fast forward button on your phone. But I just want to say that women had a great weekend
okay.
in these productions. And it was just cool to sit through both of those
mm-hmm.
while also recognizing that I like had a sugar headache because I like refused to get popcorn and Coke. Passan did at the theater. I was like, I can't have you getting popcorn and Coke. Like, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom in this movie.
Sure.
And he was like, I've waited 10 years for this movie. I'm not. And I'm like, I've waited 10 years. I'm not going to the bathroom. So I ended up having a few sips of Coke.
I'm just a little bit surprised by your decision to get just add in one of those insults. I'm a little bit surprised by
yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm surprised that you are falling prey to those.
I appreciate the wisdom you have in the snack, but
so it was fine. I didn't have to go to the bathroom.
That's great.
Saved it.
That's great.
But I had taken I had some candies because I had. I'm
what
like,
did you choose?
I have to survive. Gummy bears.
Oh, okay.
And I had an awful sugar headache from the emotions or a headache from the sugar and the emotions.
Were both of these events emotionally satisfying in the end?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So good. Unmute if you were worried about spoilers.
Again, I've watched nothing. Really I have watched The Great British Baking Show.
Okay.
The
beginning. That's an adorable show.
It is wonderful. When I was pregnant with Jane Ellis, I had my hardest pregnancy with her, and I would lay on the couch as soon as my other two went to bed mm-hmm. and turn on The Great British Baking Show and just lay there and allow their dulcet tones
yeah.
to watch over me. It's been around for a while, but if you have not yet tuned mm-hmm. in to The Great British Baking Show, you need to, because it's just so pleasant and no one's trying to backstab each other.
Right.
It's lovely. And did you know they don't win anything?
No.
They don't win anything.
Interesting.
They go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. The things that I love about it. They win nothing.
Yeah.
Except the title of
Greatest British Baker
yeah,
or whatever.
Which yeah. is amazing.
Yeah.
And they just film on weekends. They go home to their regular lives.
Cute.
During the week.
Yeah.
And then take trains in to wherever
aww,
it is,
yeah.
the big tent.
God, trains. What must it be like?
Yeah. And they bring stuff from home to bake. Not all the ingredients, but they can make stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just so lovely.
Yes.
Interestingly, the episode I was watching last night, they had to make American pies, and it was hilarious because they were all talking about how they cannot stand American desserts because they're way too sweet and we don't understand flavors, and any flavor that we try we just overwhelm with sweetness.
Fair.
And I'm like, I feel really, really
I feel attacked,
insulted,
and I don't like it, but
yeah.
yes, you are telling the
but
truth,
but you're completely right. And so one of the judges was like, I hope that they can really nail the tradition of American pies while I can still taste the flavors.
And settle down.
And they were like, and then the lady, Mary, had said, you're right. The way to really nail an American pie is to make it British. And I was like, okay, wow, those are fighting words.
You've lost all your viewers, Mary.
Who won the revolution, Mary? Allow me to take you back to the 1700s and we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. You probably can't understand my American accent.
That's right.
I sound nothing like you.
Yeah. And one of the ladies was like, well, I have a real in here because some of my family moved to America. And it was such a shade. I was like,
we got them.
I love you all.
We got more.
So if you're looking for something just lovely and feel good, it's the best.
I also read that the two hostesses uh-huh. who walk around, not
yeah,
the judges.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah, I read that if someone's having a really hard time, they go and curse around them. So it has to be edited out.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, they also
so they don't, show their rough moments on screen.
Well, those hosts also will cry when they have to let somebody go. Aww. They genuinely
are good people.
Yeah. It's just I don't know. So American pies are apparently terrible, and also American programming, because this is like our latest wins have been Australian programming and British programming.
That's true.
And American movies.
And Avengers and HBO.
Game of Thrones. Sure.
Marvel and HBO. And
and Bravo.
And the UK. Yeah, that's true.
There's a whole throwdown right now. I know you're not into Bravo, but he's not a woman. But 50 Cent is really having a moment right now.
Bravo?
Have you been following this?
No.
I don't even know if I can explain the feud.
Well, I should say I have not been on social media for days because I didn't want to see any spoilers for Avengers.
Okay.
So today I'm like catching up.
Okay, well... there's a show called Vanderpump Rules.
Yes, like I know about that.
Okay. So there is a hostess on Vanderpump Rules named Lala, who is in...
Anthony?
Nope, Kent.
Oh, okay.
Kent. Very different from Lala Anthony. Yeah. But she is engaged to this movie producer. I don't know. Anyway, apparently this movie producer is good friends with 50 Cent.
Okay.
I'm trying to explain this as best as I know how.
Sure.
And there was a scene in Vanderpump Rules where Lala is talking about girls who trade favors for...
sexual favors.
Yes. Okay. For movie placement.
Okay.
50 Cent weighed in on this, posted a clip of her and basically called her a hoe.
What?
And said that she knows best how to do this.
Why
and that's
does he
how
care?
She... Super weird. So now there is this massive... Instagram feud between Lala and her fiance and 50. And 50 is posting every text that he has of them and this movie producer being 50, I just invited you to be in our wedding last week. And 50's you owe me $1 million.
What?
It's due on Monday.
Why?
Today is Monday. I need to check and see. But even more hilariously,
did she call him out? Is that why?
No.
He just jumped in.
Yep.
That's so weird.
But I mean, he's gained so many followers from this whole thing because it's bizarre. And the movie producer or fiance in his text accidentally called him Fofty. F-O-F-T-Y. And so now 50 keeps hashtagging Fofty and everything. And has made these t-shirts that are this text conversation.
Yeah.
That it's I'm sorry, Fofty. And then the reply is $1 million on Monday.
What?
He is monetizing this feud that it didn't exist.
He was bored for a minute, knowing nothing about it.
Well, as much as I do at this point, I have no idea. I don't really watch Vanderpump Rules, so I have no idea where it sourced. But
that's so interesting.
Yeah. So what are women doing? I don't know. Lala did something.
Questions.
Yeah. That
we have
set
further
off
questions.
Foff decent.
Yeah. Okay. So
sorry. Apropos of nothing, I just thought
That is worth bringing up, but we can put it off no longer. I'm pulling out my Taylor Swift notes.
I'm glad that you have notes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need notes. They're written on my heart. So go on whenever you're ready.
Okay. First of all, weather was beautiful today.
Weather was beautiful today. It was a lovely weekend, a lovely
day.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So Taylor Swift's new single, Me.
Love it. I love it so much.
I like Brandon Urie, Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
You like him?
Yeah. I like him in the song. When I was
at some
feeling...
point, I'll send you a Panic at the Disco album.
Oh no, I know some of their songs.
The latest two are so good.
Okay, what's the one about the wedding?
The old one?
Yeah,
it's like Death at a Wedding or something. Death at a Funeral. Death of a Bachelor. No, that's his new. That's
they have
second.
Gosh,
that's
they
the
have
second
of...
latest album. The wedding
says the bridesmaid
I chimed
to
in.
A wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that song.
That's the old one. That's
I chimed in with a haven't you people ever heard of? Closing the
I write sins, not tragedies.
Yeah.
Isn't that it?
Yeah.
Crushed it.
When I was feeling a real badass in college, I would listen to that.
Oh, for sure.
I would never cuss, but I would listen to it. So that's been my real introduction to Brandon Urie.
Yeah. I did a deep dive on Panic at the Disco because I super love a couple songs for writing. And so I was just of course, diving in. And it's the band has changed quite a bit, but he's been the same front man this whole
time. I
do
really love his voice.
So, I do too. I like him a lot. Anyway. So a whole production, which I was surprised about.
Yeah.
Definitely. I can definitely see why she teased a whole midnight.
Yeah, because that video was
cinematic.
It was.
It was just a lot.
Though I will tell you, I hated the first part of the video. The whole fighting
the
in French.
Oh, yeah. I did not like that.
The snake I was okay with. Not really.
So the snake is from her recent album era.
Correct. And apparently.
Go ahead.
Well, apparently now there's this whole. Was Kim Kardashian shading Taylor because the minute that the album dropped, or the song and the video with the snake at the beginning, Kim posted all of the snake jewelry on Instagram.
Oh, hilarious.
And tagged like this designer, and everyone's like, well, that wasn't an accident. Yeah. But I can't get into the whole like Instagram
I can't imagine.
Feud.
Yeah.
Minus 50 Cent.
Yeah, for sure. I'm busy with other things at this point. She's recently said, she said she doesn't care, but she did seem like she didn't care.
Yeah, I feel like she's got a lot going on.
Yeah,
studying
I
for
feel
the
like
bar
she's
and
like
all.
Above this. But I kind of feel, I didn't like the fighting in French.
I thought I had frim shaman watching
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. That's
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I loved the rest of it.
Yeah. I feel like she
Hannah
kind of
is
like,
literally reading from her notes right now.
I'm trying to decide
know.
Where to start. I feel like she kind of heard some criticisms. I feel like she heard some criticism from before. And by that, I mean when she put up her album that she filmed in Africa with zero African people.
Sure.
And it was just like a bunch of white people because her crowd was.
That.
Oh, yeah. She filmed the one with Clint Eastwood's son.
Uh huh. I don't know what that one is.
It's about cheating.
Sure. They all
anyway, they it's like about a love affair and she filmed it in Africa and didn't have any like it's literally like the African plains and it's like only white people.
Oh, huh.
The theme is like Elizabeth Taylor and
oh, right.
What's it called?
Out of Africa.
Yeah, probably. But everyone's like
I think that's kind of pepper,
this
but...
is like just using Africa for mm-hmm, your own mm-hmm. like for your own story without sure. really respecting where you're at or the people around you or anything like that. And
but if you're interested,
this one was pretty
I'll connect you with
but it felt like she kind of listened a little bit
because mm-hmm.
I definitely felt like it was a really like she's in front of like a really diverse crowd and it's super colorful. It's like really feminine pastels, but like pantsuits. I liked
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I just thought it was lovely. I thought it was very happy to watch. I've listened to this song about 300 times. Then of course I immediately went to find out like the Easter eggs in it.
Yes.
The
ones I read about
that are
those.
Like for her
I
boyfriend.
I like that she does that.
Yeah. I mean, she has a lot of creative layers.
Yeah.
And I did interestingly. So I unapologetically love the song. Mm-hmm. I even tweeted it. And
ooh,
I mean,
we're there.
Yep. And I never tweet anything except sharing my Instagram. So anyway, I felt that strongly about it. But I did read an article that was saying like what a miss the song was, that it felt like she sold out for the sake of having a hit, where most of her songs and albums have been emotionally complex in
right.
how she's written them. And clearly there have been like very specific incidences, like
right.
in her song Out of the Woods, like her mm-hmm. whole bridge is about, you know, the fight they had at this time and the 20 stitches you got.
Right.
Like it's all very specific
yeah.
and clearly about somebody. And this one felt very generic, like some pretty
yes.
trite.
Sure.
Lyrics like, I'll be your summer when it's winter. You know, like some just mm-hmm. kind of pandering pop mm-hmm. lyrics, which I thought was interesting. I don't care. I felt like it was a lovely song.
Yeah.
But lovely. That's not really right. I think it's a fun poppy feel good summer song.
I think it's unfair to hold artists to past work.
I think that's true.
Because they evolve just like us. The song is not for me because I don't like.
You're not that happy.
I'm not happy.
Feel good.
I don't like love.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. So look what you made me do is more along
yeah,
your line.
Really her grunge era.
Her
reputation.
20 minutes.
Yeah. The 1 month in 2019 mm-hmm. or 2018 when she did that.
You have a lot of bad blood. So.
Yeah, that's true. I like to burn
joke.
Bridges. but anyway, I don't like the soulmates theme. Because it's so annoying to me. I don't like, I mean, I'm nitpicking, obviously.
Well, it
because
like it.
Because I broke
that.
The song down, but like,
oh gosh.
What is the.
But let me also point out that a couple of episodes ago,
yeah.
you did like the Jonas Brothers cool. So I'm not
no,
like.
There's no evidence of that.
I'm not holding you to that standard. I'm just pointing out.
Yeah, but that's a song about being cool, which I relate to. So it's different.
This is about awesome.
This is I don't like. They're cutesy and they're like, I promise nobody's going to love you like me. It's cutesy. And then the you're the only one of you, baby, that's the fun of you, which I like the rhyming of that line.
With
but,
the same word.
Yeah. I mean, just like the flow. That's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I meant. I'm not a musician. but I like I liked Brendan Urie's parts probably better because I truly like his voice. But I don't like the ideas of like what you and I have together is the only availability of me to be happy, mm-hmm. because that really, it's cutesy now, but I have seen in like my friends' lives. I don't think in my life. I don't know. Not now. But like I've seen in like people's lives where it's like this message is really harmful because when you think that like you have one soulmate, but you're actually in like not a good situation for whatever reason, mm-hmm. You're trapped. You'll trap yourself because you're like it's really hard for logic to win out over emotion if you're all in on emotion. And if you don't realistically know like, yes, I have chemistry with this person. Chemistry can happen with many people.
Yeah.
You can honestly make things work with anyone as well. Anyway, that's just my breakdown of her midnight release.
Okay, well, I haven't thought much about the lyrics at all. But I did when I listened to it, I immediately was like, okay, how is Hannah going to break this down in a way that's critical? So let me make sure that I'm guarding myself, armoring up.
I see what you did was just... expose me to it enough, exposure therapy, so anyone would notice and I would learn all the lyrics.
That's right. But I did really like, I felt like she was actually empowering the female in that.
Yes. Okay. I did. Honestly, I was, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go on. Go on. Start agreeing with me before I debunk you.
I like the celebratory nature of the song.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. It is very
because I really like, you know, there's no I in team, but there is a me. So I think that's like, hey,
that's true.
I am an equal part of this.
Yeah.
And then you can't spell awesome without me. Like,
yes.
I love that. I mean,
I do like that too.
Because young girls are going to listen to it.
Yeah.
So to your point, I agree. There's not
take
one soulmate.
Take out some of it. Put in more.
Yeah.
No. Right. I
because,
like it.
My mom
I,
has always,
I like those lines as well.
Yeah. My mom has always said, and I've told you this, she said it once, but I've thought about it a lot. But, you know, even when you're married, you're going to have chemistry with other people. You just choose to acknowledge it or
right.
not.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. You know,
I guess whatever. I wish she had just made it an anthem about herself in a not conceited way. Yes.
Katy Perry. Like,
yeah, like if she had just done that. But I mean, I also really liked Brendan Urie. So,
yeah. But anyway, I love it.
Yeah.
There's really nothing that Taylor can do that I won't love just out of the gate. You'll have to prove me wrong. But
No. I mean, I think also this might be wrong. I'm just kind of going by some things I've seen. I think she's kind of taking a note out of Beyonce and Jay-Z's playbook, like I was talking about last week, because it seems like she's doing I think she might have always done this now that I think about it. I'm trying to remember it. Someone's going to message you and tell us. But she is like also like philanthropic, but like low key about it.
Yeah, she to me has done a great job of how she interacts with her fans in a very genuine way.
Yeah,
seemingly. I mean, it's all manufactured to an extent, right? I mean, everybody has their image, but
she does seem like one of the more genuine of them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that she puts a high value on feeling accessible to her fans. Mm-hmm. Where I think like a Beyonce and Jay-Z, their image is more exclusive, which probably ups their allure.
I was just thinking about this.
You know?
I was trying to compare how Beyonce and Jay-Z are compared to like someone like the only other person I've seen of, I don't know why, was Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm like, they've somehow become really exclusive, but at the same time, you feel like I feel like if I saw them in a restaurant, I could say hi. I don't feel like if I saw Nicki Minaj in a restaurant, I could say hi.
Oh,
like, I feel like they have like an appropriate level of privacy, although Beyonce's been posting more.
Oh, I didn't know. But Nicki is your
standard. No, just in that to me they don't seem unapproachable. They just seem like they have set up boundaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get that. I really appreciate that Taylor every now and then will respond to comments on her Instagram that are just very well thought out. Like if a girl is upset that her boyfriend's broken up with her, they're always
stuff like
super
that on BuzzFeed.
Again, super empowering to the girl of like, this is your worth. And I like that. I think that she has done a good job of knowing she's a role model, but not in a way that's unrelatable.
Right.
But she continues also to, quote unquote, reinvent herself, but in ways that feel like natural extensions as she grows up.
And that is not something I begrudge her, if that makes sense. Like, I don't I think you should be allowed to change and experiment with yourself in different ways as an artist.
But she also does it in a way that doesn't seem to alienate her fans. Where you know, some
she's
artists
still got, like, mainly country fans.
Yeah, like some artists make such a departure that their fans are like, what?
Right.
Also speaking of pop stars, mm-hmm. I have been on a deep dive into what is happening with Britney Spears. So I will report back when I know more.
Yeah, there's like something weird because she had a show. She had a
Vegas residency.
A Vegas residency and then canceled it.
Canceled it because her dad was going right. under yeah, health concerns.
Something, yeah.
She's been under her conservatorship for over 10 years
right.
now, which is a shockingly long time.
Yeah. For a grown mother of two.
Yeah. Who is seemingly decently functional. Yeah. And then she reported she was going to a mental health facility
right.
To deal with what's going on with her dad. And there is all of this online fodder and a hashtag called Free Britney that she's actually like being held legally and financially against her will.
I wonder.
Because every time she says that she doesn't need to take her meds anymore and wants to come out of the conservatorship.
Right.
Stuff happens like this.
Interesting.
So all she wants to do is perform, supposedly.
Right.
But that like gets taken away from her when she is saying that she wants her own independence.
I hope that's not it.
I don't know if it's true or not. She did come out with a video saying that she was not being held against her will, which to me made me feel like she is.
Yeah. Here's a good way to convince everyone. Britney, put up a ransom video.
Yeah, she was responding to the hashtag. If you've never listened to the podcast Missing Richard Simmons, have you?
You've told
to
me
that?
About this one. I haven't yet.
It is a similar thing where this guy who used to be friendly with Richard Simmons, you know, Richard Simmons has disappeared from the public eye after being like very
In it,
and loving it, seemingly.
Right, yeah.
So this guy set out to figure out what happened to Richard Simmons, and one of the theories was he was being held against his will, basically by people who, in his circle. And he ended up, like, responding to it with a real weird Instagram video, basically to say, I'm not being held against my will, which, again...
You couldn't have just texted your friend?
Here I am. Again, to me, that feels shadier.
Yeah. For sure. Also, speaking of musicians, someone who I think you should check out.
Okay.
Lizzo. She's amazing.
Okay.
I'm just becoming aware of her. She's been around, I think, for a little while. But her music is just like fun and upbeat. And
I just
empowering.
Read about her.
Yeah. She's like everywhere right now.
She was on a blogging list where it was, I think it was her. I could be wrong. But it was like 13 of her 15 song album are on the Billboard Top 100 right now.
Oh, that's
people
awesome.
People have like blown up with her.
Yeah. I think Coachella. If I'm not mistaken.
Maybe that could be why.
But I don't know. I just like it. Like, it's very likable music. It's fun to listen to, and it's empowering.
Okay.
It's got a good message. So I like her a lot. You should just put it on and see what you think.
All right. Well, clearly we've given you all lots of things to listen to.
Yes.
Including us. After the break, we'll be back to talk about this week's topic. Okay, are you familiar with the term Maycember?
No.
Okay, so it's a new term that I have seen gaining traction on.
I thought you were going to say that you made up. Joe would have been fine with.
No, I would have made up a better one, but I'll deal with that. But Maycember, I keep seeing on like mom groups on Facebook.
Okay.
That is basically saying May has become like the new December in terms of activities for families between like graduations and proms and Mother's Day. And
that is a very like, specific term.
Isn't it? But,
yeah.
But apparently May is filling up for people in the same way that it used to be like designed for Christmas.
Okay.
I think with people trying to do stuff before summer hits.
Yeah.
And people are always saying, I end up breaking the budget because I need gifts for things like end of year teacher gifts, graduation gifts,
Mother's Day. Teacher gifts are a big thing. And I only have one child in preschool.
Yeah.
Next year it's going to be rough.
Yeah, because you don't just get his teacher.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you got to get, there's always, if you have a child, there's always going to be multiple teachers.
Yeah.
There's never just one person, a director or a principal, specials, teachers,
well, and
your
I don't
music
know if you're,
and your Spanish.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're like me, but people start to have, cookouts and invite people over, and I never want to show
lots
up
empty
handed.
Lots of summer birthdays.
Yeah, and I don't want to, even for like just casual adult time, I don't want to show up at empty handed places for all of the events that I get invited to, which
you
is
don't
a lot.
Show up at my house with a gift.
Yeah, but that's because you put avocados outside on chairs for me to pick up. So, anywho.
It's natural.
We digress. I want to tell you about Susie B. Local to Charlotte, but available nationally.
Yeah.
Handmade gifts that I think are the perfect non-budget breaking.
And
perfect
adorable. To have.
Yeah. They're perfect for weddings. Oh, that's the other part of Maycember. Lots of weddings happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My anniversary is coming up.
Oh, well, happy almost anniversary.
Thank you.
Showers, things like that.
Yeah.
So Susie B. are precious, embroidered, and hand-sewn.
Isn't your anniversary coming up?
It's already passed.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Thanks for the gift and the recognition.
I'm going to just real quick go on this website.
But Susie B offers the perfect little gifts to have on hand for anybody, from inspirational things to monogram, personalized, and just empowering mantras.
Yes, I love her message.
Yeah, she can customize anything. She has keychains, kitchen towels, bridal bouquet wraps.
Nice.
Pretty much anything that you can think of.
That's adorable. Yeah. I would have used that. I had to DIY my bridal bouquet wrap back in the day.
Well, these are beautiful, and they, most of, I think everything on her site is under $25. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. I recommend that you check it out. I am always stocked with Susie B.
Yeah.
You can hop online at shopsusieb.com or follow her on Instagram at shopsusieb.
Yeah, I got a couple of her gifts for Christmas this year, and I just loved it. Super cute stuff.
So if you are looking to stock up on your May-cember life or beyond, hop over to Susie B, use the code GOODIDEA, and save 15% on your order. All right, we're back from our break.
Yeah. So we started talking about beauty standards last week and then just thought that's really broad. So maybe we'll ask some specific questions and dive into a conversation. And you brought up something last week that I thought would be great to explore today, just about women making beauty decisions based on the male gaze.
Uh-huh.
So did a little research.
Oh, I can't wait because I meant to.
Yeah, I don't see any notes, but it's fine.
I never do. It's all inside.
It's all in.
It's college ruled in here.
Well, I'm feeling a lot like Dan Carlin because I did a whole deep dive.
That's great.
Are you?
Bring it on.
You've listened to his podcast?
No, but I know who he is.
Okay. It's not better than ours, but it's good.
I don't listen to anybody except ours.
On repeat.
Yeah, when the kids are upset, I'm like, who wants to listen to mommy?
still more of me.
Sounding nicer than I am right now.
Yeah, exactly. Laughing and smiling and being a happy person. Anyway. So I was thinking about hair removal because we talk a little, said something last week about how hair removal is pretty recent. So more specifically, what I should have said is that it's recent in America since European colonization of America.
Okay.
Hair removal has been around since like the dawn of time. So in his book, The Descent of Man, Darwin theorized that hairlessness was part of natural selection. And that Homo sapiens have less body hair than their antecedents because less hairy mates were more sexually attractive.
Oh, wow.
This was published in 1871. And then in the early 1900s is when sleeveless dresses became a thing for women in America. So it seems like his publishing of that book kind of pushed a little bit more of the like feminine is not hairy.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
And then in 1915, Harper's Bazaar said, like, about sleeveless dresses, because up until then, like, you couldn't, like, talk about underarms because underarms are close to boobs. So it was like,
sure.
It was like private. Like,
not as close as they used to be, am I right?
Oh, that was so good. back to our conversation about having surgery. Yeah, I've changed my mind on that. I will now be getting whatever I can find. Anyway. Circling back, sleeveless dresses come out in the early 1900s. In 1915, Harper's Bazaar says that you need to wear this dress, you need to remove objectionable hair. This doesn't include leg hair because women still had like the longer cuts and like nylons. But then in like the 40s, there were like shorter dresses, pinup models became a thing, and World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a shortage of nylons.
Oh.
So people went like bare-legged more often. And then that was a precursor for the miniskirt 60s. And by then, like, a large majority of the American women were shaving their legs regularly. Playboy had fully hairless women in the 50s in their magazines. And then 60s and 70s, feminists tried to go completely natural. The braless and fully hairy era.
I'm glad that you said natural because I was like haired. I wasn't sure like what the reverse.
The haired.
Hairful. I wasn't sure the reverse of hairless. Natural. That's great.
Yeah. But then in the late 80s, the J sisters brought the Brazilian wax and it became totally mainstream.
J sisters.
And for real, thank you because you've taken a lot of time out of my day.
We're on different.
You've given me my time back is what I'm saying. So
okay,
thank you.
Great. Sure.
So, but like you had like all these celebrities, like I think Gwyneth, like you could find notes on their wall, like thank you notes from like wow. Gwyneth Paltrow. So Allure magazine has a really good timeline, which I'm going to link to, of like hair removal. Because okay. it really goes through how like the late 80s, like all these stars start to get like Brazilian waxes. Mm-hmm. And then about like through the 90s. Like Sex and the City, Carrie Bradshaw talks about getting a Brazilian wax.
Oh.
And then all the like the statistics of women who like remove most of their hair is like extremely high. Now they've gone like lower.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like people are going back to more of like just places where people shave is like kind of up and down, but like it's generally lower of like people who have more body hair.
Haired.
The haired of us. So, a little bit more history.
Okay.
Dig in. Everyone buckle up.
Don't worry. I did some too.
Okay. Copper razors have been found that date back to 3000 BCE.
Oh, wow.
Egyptian women removed hair from their heads and pubic areas. Roman women used, ancient Romans used tweezers, pumice stones, and depilatories. And Cleopatra's era had like waxing of their own.
Huh.
And Elizabethan era, like we've all seen them with the eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They removed hair from their eyebrows and their hairline to make their eyebrows look super long. So my point, other than the fact that I wonder what future generations are going to think of us.
Yeah,
because
seriously.
It's like we think that's like an interesting look.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what are they going to think about the luscious eyebrows that I like lust after that I will never have?
You know, I mean, this is stupid to say because everyone knows it. But when you're living in it, you're like, I'll never like look back at this time and be like, what are we thinking?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I guess my research my research showed me, I feel like a character from The Magic School Bus, that
Miss Frizzle.
Yeah. There's one that's always like, according to my research.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one of them that's doing
Ralphie.
That. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. No, Ralphie's the scared kid.
Yeah, he's
something
always
no, there's a girl that's like always according to my research. I don't remember which one.
Okay.
Someone will know. Reading about it going back in time so much kind of gives me a little bit more of a ground to have this conversation with kids and say, like I've always thought about how to address questions like about different styles and makeup and nail polish with both my kids.
Okay.
Because whatever I am doing, they both want to do.
Right.
Like if I'm painting my nails, they both want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I tell both of them, like, well, first of all, I don't have anything child life.
They are first of all, no.
Mechanicals.
Secondly.
Yeah. Actually, first of all, I do not have the patience at all. But I mean, I'm not going to say like, oh, only girls do this. Boys don't do this. Like, I'm not going to shut you down. You ultimately will be able to decide however to express yourself. But also, our norm is our norm. It is not the norm throughout history. And like, historically, men have been really like, have throughout history frequently, different times, been more like, I don't know, just use different things to enhance their image as well.
Yeah.
So it just gives me more grounds to say, like, well, throughout history, people have done different things. This is what I choose to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make your own choice.
So I did some research. And by that, I tried to refresh my memory on some memes that I've seen. But it led me to this collection of ads that used to run for women's products. But they were all during eras that men led most of advertising.
Yes.
I've never actually seen Mad Men. But
yeah, I've watched a little bit of it.
It's around there. But there's an ad that says, remember your hair collects unpleasant odors. And it was spawned by, in the 1930s, dancing was an important social activity.
Yes. Yeah.
So shampoo companies wanted women to worry about another way they could smell bad. But they were really trying to sell more shampoo.
Interesting.
So they were bringing that up as a different way. And even in the 19th century, you can see ads for chin reducers and beautifiers to try to reshape
faces.
Oh,
first of all, find me that right now.
yeah, this actually looks amazing. It is, you pull the cord and it prevents double chins.
Hey, we got to put that in the show notes.
Yeah. And apparently it reduces enlarged glands. So, but leeches did a lot of
sold.
Good work too.
I mean,
so
I will take it.
also, at the time, Lysol disinfectant was, did you know this, was advertised as a douching product.
Oh, yikes.
And it was sold as men leaving their wives because of poor feminine hygiene. So Lysol was used for that.
Yeah.
But positively, there are some ads about, well, I mean, they're all framed incorrectly, but it's, if men hate the sight of you, read this. And it's Stewman saying,
love it.
Let's beat it. Here comes that skinny Dane.
Oh, yeah.
girl like saying, I'm going to post all of these.
Yeah.
Men hate the sight of me. I'm so skinny. I'm going to try ironized yeast.
Yes.
And it talks about skinny girls gaining 10 to 20 pounds. So it's not all bad.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I know. It's
your vag
it's
may never recover from your Lysol bath, but yes. Your curves
you
will
might die from
in.
Whatever chemicals you're literally shooting into your body. But right. I mean, so I feel like, and this kind of brings about what I wanted to ask is like, so we have like, historically, women have always done like different things uh-huh. for our bodies because men want us to or not. And these ads always say like, and you know, like Harper's Bazaar was the first one to say like, if you're, and it was about dancing, like yeah. if you're dancing, you need to wear this sleeveless dress and you can't have objectionable hair mm-hmm. and like, you need to smell good and stuff yeah. like that. So now, it's just like the tide is kind of turning because you see, like, I love to watch, Instagram makeup tutorials.
That's interesting that you do.
I don't do any of them. I don't
right.
know why. It's
you like to
relaxing
them.
Or whatever. Yeah. And I think it's cool. And it's
like ASMR for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my ASMR, but I also love like the before and afters. Cause to mm-hmm. me, I'm like, that's like art. Like that's a cool thing that you can do. And especially like, cause people can do really funky stuff with makeup, but then there's like memes that I've seen of like, obviously like men, like incels being like, well, imagine if you like go home with someone and it turns out to be this other person.
I still believe that.
And it's still,
I don't want to look so different.
No, I know. This is not about what I'm saying is that like now, like men are like some men. There is like some people saying like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to go out with someone who looked totally different.
Right, right.
But with the women are like, oh, she didn't do that for you.
Well, you know, do you ever look at the blog Man Repeller?
I think I have.
Well, it made such a splash when it started for that very reason, where she was like, the outfits that I want to wear, mm-hmm. She said that they repel men because it's like, I'm not dressing for you.
Right, exactly.
I am looking like me. Now, there's some controversy later because it turns out that she was like engaged to a man. So she, which is fine, obviously. Sure. But she started this whole blog under this guise of like, I don't care if men like what I'm wearing. But she was right. in a committed relationship. So right. there was some
it's
like
a little different. But I like the message.
But the message was great of like, don't dress for men anymore.
Right.
But it's interesting because I do feel like at this stage in my life, well, I mean, obviously I'm married, so I'm not like looking for mm-hmm. male approval. But I feel like the influence of other women
yeah.
is as much or more to me. I want what I wear and how I look to appeal to other women.
For sure. And I think that's what I meant to say. I don't go for like a super heavy makeup look either. Mm-hmm. Because it, I don't know, effort mainly. But I mean,
yeah.
also, I love that other people want to do that.
Yeah.
And like, do you? Anyway, I just think it's like, I just care way more about like if my friends and like other people yeah. think, oh, she looks good, or I like how she did that, or whatever. And it's just interesting because I feel mm-hmm. like it's like a new, like, the men don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Like, upset online and like ranting about it.
yeah. I mean, I definitely feel way more comfortable. And it, no matter what I'm dressed as, if I go to a mm-hmm. work function and I approach a group of men,
yeah.
like, we have a pretty diverse board of directors at my company, but there are, you know, predominantly men, but mm-hmm. we do have very good female representation. But I am much more likely to approach a group of men and feel comfortable just diving into the conversation and talking
okay.
than I am a group of women mm-hmm. who I view as high-powered women.
Yeah.
I feel much more insecure in what I'm dressed, how my hair looks. Like, yeah. I got a haircut recently, and, like, nobody's commented on it, which immediately makes me
weird.
Feel really insecure.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, you wouldn't tell me you liked it. You just say nothing, which you have not said anything about.
Check.
So immediately, like, you know, like, it's just things that I don't really care if a man finds me attractive. I mean, David, I hope that you do still. Sorry if you don't. But I do very much feel wrong-footed if I approach a group of women.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you've noticed this or if you do it.
Okay.
I think that I'm guilty of it. Women give each other the once-over way more than I think men do.
Well, I think I do that.
I definitely do it. And I feel bad, but I am so aware when a woman does it. Like, I went to this pop-up shop over the weekend. I was there for all of 7 minutes because I felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It wasn't that anyone was overtly unfriendly. Everyone
right.
was very friendly. But they obviously spend more time investing in how they look and
right.
probably more resources in how they look. And I felt like every time I walked into a room, I got the once over. And to me, getting the once over equates to failing the once over. I don't feel like anybody could give me the once over. And I'm like, glad you're looking because I nailed it. But I immediately, like, again, in a group of men, I would feel like, ah,
right.
Here's what I am, you know, whatever. But in a group of women, I immediately start to feel inferior and like,
right.
Clearly you don't want to talk to me. I don't really want to talk to you. So I'm going to leave now. And that's exactly what I did.
That's interesting. I'm trying to think, because I definitely feel way more self-confident now, but I'm trying to think about when I, like when I was growing up, I for sure would have like listened more, like based on, like probably it would be like way more even. Like, I think I would have been more worried about like, if like the boys and like the men,
yeah.
liked a certain look, all of them.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
were
really
circling.
Right. I mean, obviously when I say any of these stories, I'm talking about like two people.
I don't know. As I said this, I'm like, no, yeah, I settled down. It wasn't that big a deal.
I definitely am framing this as though, one, there are many invitations from women to lots of places.
First of all, and the women they're... and the men are everywhere. We know this.
Also, it's one of each. So
one of them is me.
Exactly right. And the other one is like David's friend. Puss on. But yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I definitely wanted boys to look at me. You know,
right.
And always felt like I was lacking. I've said this before, mm-hmm. the boy in sixth grade or seventh grade who said, you're not the prettiest, but you're not the ugliest, and you're not the biggest, and you're not the smallest.
Right.
That really did frame a lot of things. And I think I've told the story in the podcast about a guy that I dated for like 3 years who said, you know, there are lots of different types of attractive, and like there's like unattractive, then there's cute, then there's hot. And like your friend Mary is hot and you're like cute. And we were like dating, and I
for
3 years
time after that, or
yes, I don't know why. He also told me it grossed him out to watch me eat. So, you know, clearly I had some security issues, and also he had no chin. So I don't know. He didn't have a whole lot of place to talk. Yeah. But, it's just interesting the things that you hear that start to frame you, because I like feel decently okay about myself. But in there, I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's like the best I'll do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Princess Diaries where, you know, she goes to school and she's like, this is the best it's going to get.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. I'm like, pretty cute is better than unattractive. So like,
it's a win. Let's go out for dinner.
Yeah. And same with that seventh grader who was like, okay, well, as long as I stay above not the ugliest.
Right.
But what a weird, like, there's no confidence to derive from that kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Because
agreed.
It's settling for you're doing as much as you can.
Right.
Not like, oh, I feel great about this.
Right. I feel like we as girls are like, do you know that, who is it? It's not Jonas Brothers. Who's that other boy band? It's not New Kids on the Block. The
degrees.
British one. No. I
don't. Westlife?
The young men.
Beatles.
No. What are they? I'm like dying.
Oh, One Direction.
Yes. Thank you. I knew they weren't a band anymore. That was a rough moment for me personally. But anyway, they have that song, You Don't Know You're Beautiful. That's what makes you beautiful. And it's like such a catchy song. But I think, who is the British late night guy?
James Corden.
Not James Corden. The other one who like rags on people appropriately.
Piers Morgan?
No. Ugh, barf, no.
Okay.
Who is it? Ah, my brother listens to him all the time. Or watches him.
Oh, Colin.
No.
Okay. Is he a late night host?
Yeah, he's a late
Craig
night.
Something?
No, not Craig Ferguson.
Okay, I'm out of options.
He's got dark hair and glasses and...
British?
Late night host.
Late night. John Oliver.
Thank you.
I didn't even know who that was.
Okay. Anyway, I think it was. I actually don't even know. This isn't important. He said, okay. Please still stay and finish this recording with me.
I'm not. I'm out. I give you the once over and I'm out. I don't like
Failed.
Your camo shirt. I don't like your butterfly
clip. My sister-in-law had it. I had to buy it. Obviously. I buy whatever she buys. My hair.
It's cool.
This is so hurtful. Do you like my glasses though?
They make you look
she
smart.
Shrugged. If anyone wants to know, she shrugged her shoulders pretty obviously. Anyway,
I'm glad you feel confident.
I mean, I did.
For the record, I am in two small workout pants and just like a semi bleached church t-shirt. So.
I know. We're both rocking the sports bra, though. So I can.
When we very first started recording, we would kind of dress up for recordings, and this is where we are now.
I know. I'm impressed that I put on jeans. Anyway. He said, and I think it was him again, I don't know. He made a comment about celebrating the fact that women don't know they're beautiful.
Okay.
Which I think is a popular thing. Like, I don't think being aware, and again, this might not be everyone, this might just be me. I don't think being confident in yourself, because I mean, we are all beautiful in our own different ways. And I don't know. I truly think that. I truly believe that. I wouldn't have when I was younger. And I definitely don't. I don't know if I would have thought of myself as really attractive. But I remember thinking, like, being kind of surprised when, like, a boy was attracted to me and, like, wanted to be with me. And
all of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, there were a lot and I had to make a hard choice many times.
You're lucky, Pisan. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. And he'll never know because he doesn't listen. Anyway, but it's just, do you think that, like, do you think there's the mindset implicitly of, like, it's better, like, oh, like, you need to, like, not know what you have?
No, I mean, as you were talking, I was about to bring up the debate. No, sometimes I am, but not this time. And I was bringing up the, like, my response to that was going to be, okay, this brings up a nature nurture debate. Do you think that you are born confident, or do you think that it is spoken into you? Because that's part of it, right? Like, if you don't know, do you not know because no one has ever told you positively? So you just know, you know, like, so I look at my kids and I'm like, yeah, I guess they are all confident.
Oh yeah, I guess they are. I guess.
But I mean, they are very
confident. I guess they are all confident. The jury's still out.
Okay, they're very confident. But is it because, I mean, I lavish them with praise.
Right, yeah.
Would they just naturally be?
Right.
Because I don't have, I guess Jane Ellis is still pretty young. I could do a test
just
and just see. Yeah,
like,
just
we're done.
Don't. And just see in
she's
a few
almost
years.
Won, so it's like fine. Like,
this
just
is
wait.
For the pod. You've
had enough.
Fine. You're good.
It's called a social experiment.
I'll keep feeding you. It's fine.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. Get your own. We're doing a new hunter gatherer situation. Go on. Go across the street to Hannah's garden for your avocado. Anywho, I don't know. I mean, I do think that it's true that a confident person is attractive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so torn on it that, yeah, I think everybody is beautiful and everybody brings something different to the table.
Right.
But obviously, this is going to sound awful. I know this as I say it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is the same level of physical attractive.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there are just different levels of physical attractiveness.
Yeah.
So sometimes you do have to dig to find what is more attractive with people because, especially if somebody is not confident, you really tend to have to dig a little bit. Not because it's not there, but you want to pull it out of them as much as anything because they don't present with their strongest
foot. You want them to see, like, what you see or what you could see.
Yeah, because there are some people that are probably really physically insecure but have just this killer personality and they know that it's a win. And so sometimes they might be masking an insecurity, but there's something that, like, it breeds.
Right.
Because you know the people that you have found more attractive the more you've gotten to know them. I think pretty much everybody.
That's a good point.
The longer you know somebody, the more attractive they are.
Right.
Because you just are learning these other gems. So I do think that there is something with this.
Gems. I'm like, who is Jim?
I don't know. Y'all got lots of them. Show me your gems.
Bring out the gems. They're circling again with all the men and women.
Sorry. Gems. I's and E's sound the same. It's also, how do you
to
pronounce?
Southern people.
How
I
do
think you pronounce, no one else has that problem.
How do you pronounce Don and Dawn?
Yeah, I don't know. Dawn.
Dawn.
Yeah.
And the woman Dawn.
Oh, Dawn. That's clearly different. Dawn and Dawn. I'm saying it very differently.
It's the exact same. Jim and Jim. The treasure in someone.
Better.
But some people are better at presenting that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do think that that is out of an insecurity that they have, like, learned to compensate for things. So it's like, I don't know that it's always confidence as much as it's like, you know, you learn to dress for your body type.
Right. Yes.
It's like that. So, like, you're going to maximize what's there that's attractive in you. I don't know. I don't think I'm making any sense.
No, but you are. That brings up a good point. I was talking to my friend Joya about body image.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, you know, this is what we're talking about, blah, blah. And so she was saying that she's lost a lot of weight recently, which I have told her recently as well. I'm like, I am literally objectifying you. Like, you just look great. I can't stop. But she was saying, she's like, I keep feeling like I have reverse body dysmorphia. Because I look at myself and think, oh, you look really good. But then remember, like, oh, well, I haven't hit my goals yet or whatever.
Right.
So then she's like, I start making, like, jokes like, oh, haha, I probably, like, look like Shrek or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely untrue. She doesn't. But, and she's like, so
I get that.
Yeah. So she said, my other friend said, I just thought about it. You don't have reverse body dysmorphia. You're just being body positive. But since our society, especially in America, really has no good word for feeling good about your body when you're actually healthy, You just call it reverse body dysmorphia, or you just feel bad for feeling good about your body at this size because it isn't the size four.
Yeah, no, I think that that is brilliant because you don't hear that many people being like, I don't want to lose any weight.
Right.
I don't want to get any more fit. Right. I love how I look.
I'm happy
right now.
I'm like at a stasis.
Because a lot of people will be like, oh, I really like how I look.
Right.
But
I could.
I would love to do whatever. Yeah. Like my wedding planner, who we became really good friends with, she has lost so many inches over the last year, and she has gone 365 days without sugar, which is unreal.
That's amazing.
And she looks amazing. But more than that, like she said, you know, she's just so proud of herself for making that huge decision.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of what the scale says, regardless, she's like, I feel so much better. And she's been like pretty public about it, and she should.
Yeah.
But like, you can just see in her face that she is really proud of herself. And it's more. I like how she has angled it because she's like, I am just proud that I can do this and that I'm feeling a positive effect, not like based on what the scale is saying, but just because she coined this term that I love. She was like, being overweight is hard. Going a year without sugar is hard. You just have to choose your hard.
Okay.
And I think that's like really great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that is appropriate for this conversation. Like, it's hard to feel confident all the time. Also hard to like feel terrible about yourself,
right?
So like, choose your hard. Like,
yeah,
ultimately there is probably more benefit.
Yeah,
but I agree with what Joy is saying. It's, you do, this culture always makes it seem like, I've talked about it before, this goals culture.
Yes, the hustle.
My mom and I were talking about it the other night.
Yeah,
that it's okay to just be content.
Yeah,
but we
and to be proud of how far you've come.
Yeah,
and celebrate that. I don't think that really comes up. Like, it's never like, and it's also too, because misery loves company. So like, if we're complaining,
more people can commiserate.
Like, you and I were talking about this with Amanda the other day. Like, if more people are complaining and you come in and say, oh, well, I've had a great day, then it's like, well, be quiet. No one cares.
Yeah. Like, get out of here with your bragging.
You're being real rude.
But like, it's not like you're going to sit around a table with glasses of wine and be like, who feels awesome about themselves?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What's the...
We should start the wine circle of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Find it.
Compliment yourself right now. Like, what are you really happy with yourself about? People don't do that. But I think there's this weird perceived false humility that like people find it more attractive to be humble, but we've masked insecurity and discontentment by calling it humility.
Yeah.
Like
you look great. Like, oh
no,
I
don't.
Blah, blah. It's like, no, just say thank you.
Well, yeah. My mom, who's amazing, is not great at taking a compliment. And we always like, you know, kind of give her a hard time about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself doing that. Like, if somebody's like, you look cute, I'm like, oh yeah, but like, look at all the stains all over what I'm wearing. Or like,
I actually look absurd. Don't be silly. Like, you sound ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't know, these pants don't fit. You know, like,
right.
I don't know.
Something self-deprecating.
But you feel like you have to deflect it, and that's more likable than just being like, thank you.
Yeah.
I know,
I think
I do.
It's a little bit more put on us as well, because it's like, just, I don't know, like...
But you know, I was just thinking, just a second.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're going to say, because it's probably profound.
No, you go.
You know, men are probably better at like taking compliments, but
that's what I was going to say.
But
no, that's not what I was going to say.
Okay. I wonder if they are recipients of as many compliments, because I do feel like, when in doubt, if you're in a conversation with a woman and you run out of something to say, or you're uncomfortable meeting, you go to a compliment.
Right. Like, I like your nails.
I really like your hair.
To everyone, because I'm jealous of everyone's nails.
Do you like mine right now?
Not yours. Not right now. Not right now. Like, people who go
who
see someone professionally.
Look at that one, though, in particular. It's good. I look like I was in the Battle of Winterfell.
Nice.
I don't know anything about it. But
appropriate.
Like if you were in a conversation with a male.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of ran out of things to say, like, would you just default to like, I really like your
pants. I like your eyebrows.
Like, you
me,
just
probably being awkward.
But it's like this weird, like, thing that women do with each other.
Yeah.
And then that breeds this weird, like, underlying competition of like, I'm going to accept yours the least, but I'm going to match you with another compliment.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I like your hair. I like yours too. Like, if you walk away and you've complimented somebody and they have not said, like, you too, or something,
right.
Do you feel like...
Ooh. Yeah, like saying something like, oh, thanks. Or even like talking about it. Like, yeah. Oh, thanks. I like just got it done. It never looks this good.
But like men don't do that. Like, do you think men are like, hey, who does your hair? I love your hair.
Yeah.
Or like that suit looks killer.
Does because he's real specific about his
hair. Yeah, but his hair looks really great. But like,
just himself.
I can't imagine like David and Passan talking in the cul-de-sac, running out of things to say, and then like, your skin looks great.
Right.
Have you been doing something different?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's like this weird like space filler for women.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it,
what were you going to say? I'm sorry that I interrupted you.
No. I mean, I don't think it's really, I was just going to say, I think it's put on women more to be like, I don't know. I think confidence is becoming more popular. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. And I want to know how we make our little girls be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want them, like some boy or girl or someone coming up to them when they're like in middle school or high school or college.
And wrecking everything. Well, all their confidence.
Oh, obviously. I mean, obviously I'm going to go like ballistic when that happens. But I'm saying like, if someone comes up and says like, oh.
Dateline, you heard it here first.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I'm emailing Keith
Local
Morrison.
Mom loses I'll do your it interview. At a high school child.
I will do your interview on Dateline. But I'm going to need a killer outfit and clearly a better haircut because no one's complimented this one still.
I did. I literally was the
I know.
First.
You did. Yeah, you did. You did great.
You're doing great, sweetie. No, but like if someone comes up and says like, Maya's really beautiful, mm-hmm. if she feels surprised, I will be very upset. That's my point.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what I felt was like if someone like was attracted to me, that was a surprise.
Right. And so you as a parent want to like... holistically instill
right.
confidence in your child
right.
so that
not
they
that
can't
I,
tell you anything nobody can tell them anything
right.
as like a surprise
like I
they
don't
fully
want
know
you
themselves.
To be searching for anyone else's anything. I don't think I was like I don't think I was looking for
like validation
thank you validation
yeah.
The way I said it sounded very weird.
I didn't think so.
Okay, cool, me neither.
The way I said it sounded better, but does that surprise you?
It's set. Per my last email, it's
you're very
validation.
Good at I know.
Yeah, I'm really good at this. No, but I don't want them like or is someone. I don't want like Norbeth to not think that she's beautiful on her own. I don't want her being like I know, which 100% both of those two would do right now.
I know.
Like
yes.
and have, but yeah. I mean, like I just want them to be like thanks. And that not to be like that, that doesn't mean like that person gave you the compliment. And so like that person, oh, they like me because they think I'm pretty. Like, no, you are pretty. You know that. Everyone
yeah.
thinks that.
And I think too.
And again, not like everyone thinks that because, but just like, I think that I think I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm not like everyone thinks that, but I do confidently think I put that out there now.
Yeah.
That's
no,
what I want
agree
them
with that.
To do.
But you know, I think that goes back even to like our commune episode that it is important to have a network of people in your life that are all speaking words of encouragement
that's
over
a good
you
point. Yeah,
because if you've only ever heard it from your parents and then
yeah.
one person says something different, you're going to start to doubt what your parents
yeah,
said. Like
true,
oh well
true.
Of course they said that, they're my parents,
right?
But because like we have a network that I know that you are complimentary of my girls
right.
and encouraging to them, and they have a lot of people in their lives, like, you know, we have limited grandparent presence at some points, but we have all these like pseudo grandparents in their lives
right
that
my
I'll
parents
shower them
yeah,
right
yeah.
And so I feel like they are hearing it from so many people
yeah.
that it's like they have this stronger fortress when people start to like try to chink away at it.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think that so they shouldn't be surprised, but they also shouldn't feel like one false thing will invalidate what your parents says. Because like when you are hit puberty, I think that your parents' opinion is the first one
yeah.
to get invalidated.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, yeah.
That's a good point.
Sure.
That's a good point. Well, maybe we can just wrap it up on this quick thought that I followed up with Abby
oh, yeah.
from last week. And she said, I think women receive enough shame for so many things they can't control. It's time to empower the women who take control of their self-confidence, no matter how they do it.
That's amazing.
I think that's a good message. And also, like, build each other up. Build the little girls up.
Mm-hmm.
Build the high schoolers up. Build
and
the middle
teach
schoolers
them how
up.
To build other people up.
Yes,
like,
that's
teach them
a
to
good
not
point.
Just to do that. Like,
because then the
April,
male gaze doesn't matter and we don't care about it.
Well, April, a friend of the pod,
yes.
we went and played at her house and I took away something that felt so profound to me. Norbeth and Camille had gotten into some kerfuffle about something.
Sure.
And Norbeth walked away feeling upset.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of even having Camille say she was sorry, because I don't even think that she'd done anything wrong, mm-hmm. April said, Camille, can you tell Norbeth something that you like about her?
No.
And I just thought that was so nice. Like, if somebody is upset, don't just immediately, because I know that I'm quick to apologize whether something I did anything right. or not. Like, if yeah. I sense that something's wrong, I'll mm-hmm. apologize. So she like coached Camille how to like
build
affirm
her up.
Norbeth.
Affirm
like,
her,
oh,
yeah.
I like your dress. I like right. your whatever. And, you know, at this age, it's going to be very basic. But
yes.
I was like, what a great thing that I have never seen before that
yeah.
someone like teaches their child to build somebody up.
I
so,
like that.
April, we know that you're awesome. Great job.
yeah. Teach us all of your ways.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's good.
Build so thank you, Abby.
Build
thank
women
you,
up.
April.
Weird. It doesn't seem like our message at all, ever.
Very off-brand.
All right. Well, we'll be right back to round it off with our good ideas at the time. Okay, we're back, and I'm going to round this right off because my good idea is somehow related. It sounded like a good idea at the time to let Maya play with Caroline's children.
Well, always is a good idea.
This is how it ended up.
I don't know this story. I don't
No. Milan had a soccer game on Saturday, and I am just like pretty, I don't know, I guess I was like pretty tomboyish in elementary school. And like, I care like up until like recently, I didn't really that care. I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like average. But like my child, who is 2 and a half, has spent most of her life with under Caroline's influence.
Yes.
And arrived at a soccer game in a tie-dye, pink and blue tie-dye skirt, which was courtesy of our friend Lauren, so yep. it's not all you. And another like equally clashing bright pink pattern like tank top.
Yeah.
Actually, that was also from Lauren too. And like the biggest pink bow.
Yes.
That I have not purchased her.
Where did she get it?
Oh, your house.
Oh.
It's Norbeth's.
Oh, yeah, that's where that one went.
I returned it.
Yeah, I did.
But
see that.
Anyway, all I'm saying is she looks like an Aerie walking
right,
in somewhere
does.
With her little bob.
You're welcome, everyone.
And
you're
her
welcome, world.
Bowed back hair. And I said, Maya, what sport are you going to play? And she goes, no.
That is some kind of mood that I want to be Maya when I grow up.
I know. I don't know whose daughter this little like girly girl is.
That is hilarious. Well, similarly, with my 2-year-old Anna Blair, who is definitely like more fiery than Norbeth has mm-hmm. been. But I also realized when Norbeth was 2, she didn't have like an older sister bothering her.
Yeah,
you know, like
to fight.
Yeah. But I had been saying, Norbeth and Anna Blair had both been testing boundaries last week. And mm-hmm. I'd be like, don't you dare. Whatever it was they were about to do. They
yeah.
would like, look at me. And so Anna Blair now has been saying it to Norbeth all the time. She's like, don't you deal. All the time. And because I said it unhappily to Norbeth, now she thinks it's like a bad word.
Right.
You know? So Anna Blair will just look at her and be like, don't you deal. And then Norma's like, that's not nice to say to people. You know, like it's this curse
and you're
word.
Like, oh, for the love.
I know. So I took them to a greenway this weekend to see these horses. They were thrilled about until they realized the horses were big and not small.
Sure.
And you know, Anna Blair is just standing there like screaming at them like, go away right now. Don't you dare. Don't you
to the
dare. To the horses. And like all of these passersby, she's like, don't you dare. And then Norma's like, you're making the horses sad. That's not nice to say that. And I'm like,
oh
okay, let's
gosh.
Just go home. This is like enough nature.
That's what happens when I try. Don't be the fun mom. It's
clearly.
Not okay.
Yeah. And also don't teach them to talk or something.
Yeah. Something
don't
like that.
Dare.
I don't know.
It's
don't
the cutest
teach them
thing.
To be having attitude.
Yeah. Well, and of course, because it's so precious to hear her say with her little like precious moments face
right.
that I encouraged it too much. And now she's
right.
very into it.
Yeah. Precious moments face is the most legitimate way I've ever heard her described. Anyway.
Don't you deal.
Yeah. Anyway, good talk.
Real good talk. Well, we'll be back next week tackling something.
Something. We'll see. TBD.
Yeah.
Tune in.
If you have any suggestions, let us know.
Oh, yeah.
We have a long list, but we love hearing. We love crowdsourcing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we bump things if they're good enough, so.
Yeah. Like, skip the day of.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
All right.